Can you tell me what your role is, what your role will be in all of this?
So I'm working with our data collection group, and we're launching a bunch of, they're called radiosondes. What they are is sensors that we can send up that are insulated for temperature, and they emit a radio signal that we can pick up from a ground station and collect data as these balloons go up through the atmosphere. So I am running simulations on where these flights will go so that we don't land in places that we shouldn't, whether it be landing in forest fires, which is something we're dealing with now, being in Montana and Missoula where there's a bunch of them around us, or like with the larger balloons when we have to go and recover the payload, where are they going to land? Are we going to be able to get to them easily? Do we need to adjust our flight so that we don't like land in a river or a lake or something like that? And then also I simulate what the weather should be like the day of. So I'm running simulations that will tell me, like, this is what is predicted to occur on the day of the eclipse. And then we can look at what our balloon flights show, and we can say, this is what our balloon flights show. So then if there's variance between what I am seeing in the simulations and what we're seeing in the actual sensors, then we have a better idea if there's an actual effect and what that effect may be.
So basically, a bunch of balloons are going to be up in the air, and you are going to partially be responsible for making sure that when they do come down, they land in an appropriate spot?
I help the director that we have here and our flight director make sure that we're going to land in the right spot. So if we are looking like we're going to land in trouble, then yeah, I help make sure that those balloons find a good place to settle down.
So sounds like a lot of calculations beforehand are necessary.
They're all run on computer systems, but there's quite a few calculations that are done. Yeah.
From my understanding, it's really short what the, you know, average person is going to see. It just lasts a few minutes.
Yeah. So the actual full totality, when the sun is actually completely covered up by the moon, only lasts for about 2 to 3 minutes, depending on where you are in the eclipse path. And if you're not in the total, the path of totality or the total eclipse when you have the full coverage, it can be shorter, but depending upon where you are.
But even though the event is actually only going to be visible for a couple minutes, you've probably been preparing for quite a while.
We personally, the interns, have been preparing since beginning of the summer. The Montana Space Grant Program has been preparing. From what I understand, they've been thinking about this for the past 3 years. So it's the culmination of a lot of late nights.
So how excited are you?
I am very excited. I have never seen a solar eclipse. I do remember some of our lunar eclipses that we had a few years ago. They're simply spectacular. And from what I gather, this is going to be much, much, much greater. So, and the other part of it is that this is the first solar eclipse that has gone coast to coast for the United States in like 100 years or something like that. It's been a very long time, and so for it to happen in our lifetime is pretty spectacular.
And then, I guess, finally, you know, what do you like about physics and studying physics and space?
So for me, it's something that I've always really liked, problems and like figuring stuff out and the inquisitiveness of it. And so for this, it's something that we were looking at these, they're gravity waves, they're basically atmospheric ripples. And we're fully invested in trying to figure out if the eclipse will cause these. And years ago, when I was graduating high school, like 2015, I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go with school and whatnot, and I ended up going into engineering. But originally, I was really interested in looking at different planets' atmospheres and their environments and stuff like that. And the irony now is that I'm working in a field that is very much along those lines, but for our own planet, with the atmospheric science. And that's really cool for me. And it's growing up as a swimmer, like being in the pool all the time, like fluids is something that I really love. And then once you start getting into more of the advanced physics, you realize just how similar the ocean is to our atmosphere in many, many ways. And so it's really cool to see all these little parallels and just the way that the world opens up once you start to like learn it.